3-1, hit deep to left. It is gone, and it's a significant homer. It is number 300 on the season for the Atlanta Braves. He's got two ducks on the pond here, and he races it the other way. Ozzie's coming home. 6-2. This ball is hit well to left. And Assad with a 1-2 pitch. And Lau lifts in the air to right field. It's still going. And it's gone! A two-run homer for Acuna. And the Braves are in it. Down by a run. Murphy, shallow right center. But it hangs up in the air.
Highlight courtesy of Bally's Sports South as the Atlanta Braves defeat the Cubs 7-6. Cubs up 6-0, lose the game 7-6. Glad you're with us on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Kevin Zipak, we got Jay Moore, we got you here on this Waddle Wednesday. Talking to you about the Cubs, 312-332-3776. Coming up at 9:35, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, covers the Cubs and Major League Baseball for ESPN Chicago. We'll talk to him coming up at 9:35 from Atlanta. But that was a house of horrors that took place yesterday, Cap. You are comfortably in the lead. It's against a ball club that's won over 100 games. The Braves, one of the best teams in baseball. And then that happens. The bottom fell out. Three, as you just heard there from Bally Sports South, three in the bottom of the 6-2, in the bottom of the 7-2, in the bottom of the 8th, and a 7-6 victory for the Atlanta Braves.
There are so many reasons that team lost. Yes, Seiya made a crucial error. He did. He also had a two-run triple and another hit in the game. He's been, go back, look at the numbers, top four offensive players in the sport the last 65 or so days. He's been great. He's been their best offensive player for over 2 months. Again, you cannot miss that play. You got to make the catch. It happened. You got a 6-0 lead going to the sixth.
Against them.
Against a really good team. You got to add on. Pete Crow Armstrong, you can't get caught off a third. You just can't. That cannot happen. Watch too many stupid base running mistakes. Him, Chris Morrell. These things cannot keep happening. And if they do, they fall at the feet, A, of the player, B, of the manager and coaching staff. Cannot happen. The bullpen did a lousy job. Okay, Javier Assad comes in. It wasn't a horrible pitch to Acuna Jr. But as I said to you at 7 o'clock, that wasn't Phil Acuna. That was Ronald Acuna Jr. He's going to be the MVP probably. He's amazing. With two strikes, you cannot allow him to get the head of the bat on the ball. You can't. Waste it. Throw it down. I don't care what you do. You can't let him hit a two-run home run in that spot. He did. Drew Smyly, quit effing walking people. And then bouncing balls in. Wow. It was like pinball with him for Yan Gomes back there.
I expect that from Kwas, but I think that he does that on purpose. Sometimes he's wild.
Yeah.
But Smyly, a veteran, that was not good.
Not good. That was terrible. I mean, there shouldn't have been all that traffic on base. If you're going to keep walking people, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. And that's exactly what happened. Again, I'm not excusing the inexcusable error by Seiya Suzuki. But he's a human, and that's going to happen. But all the other things. And the manager had a bad night. Why are you using PCA in the fourth inning? Burning him there. Then he makes a base running mistake. Why are you bunting to get Yan Gomes to second base? It's not like that's a speed merchant out there.
Right.
What are we doing with all these bunts? I get it. If you're telling me it's the top of the ninth and you need a run to tie and you got a man at second and nobody out and you're going to try and get him to third and take your shot. Okay. I get it. bunting in the middle of the game? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's not who you should be. That's not who you've been all season. The magic in the Cubs that I've seen is you are able to get that key base hit with runners in scoring position, two outs.
Correct.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, I don't have the stats in front of me. Someone could tell me that the Cubs suck at that particular juncture of a game. I'm just saying, based on the eye test, watching the games, the magic for the Cubs is how they're able to get it done from unsung heroes. From Mastroboni to Gomes, from Morrell to Seiya, who has been, as you mentioned, carried the ball club for a while, from Talkman, names like that. It's names that you do not expect for them to be able to flourish and come through. That's why the Cubs are an 82-75 ball club, is because you're getting pitching out of nowhere. You're able to, you know, mismatch and try to figure out who can be able to be at the top of the lineup. All these things. You got to 82 wins. You've earned that. Not because you're a great baseball team. It's because the team plays together. But in a game like the Braves, if you're up 6-0, Cap, you've got to be able to hold on. Like you say, add on. 6 runs should be enough, but not against this Braves team. It isn't.
It is. It's never enough. And then, again, I'm glad he's the shortstop. He's a hell of a leader in there. He's a really good defender. 248, 0-for-4 again, Dansby. Come on, man.
Had the Cubs' first time in Atlanta, I think, this season.
Yeah.
So might be a little butterflies there because he took off the helmet. It was like a huge standing ovation for him in Atlanta because that's his old team. I'm not giving any excuses. I'm just saying that that's a reason that he might have went 0-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah, I like him. He's a really nice player. I'm glad he's a piece of the team. He's not a linchpin offensively. Far from it.
You know how you can know that? Look how far down the lineup he is. I mean, for the money that was doled out, let's just be honest, that guy should be a better, much more of a catalyst, higher in the lineup and doing damage, right? That's who he should be,
yes,
but he's not.
Completely agree.
So, Seiya Suzuki, because that's what everyone's talking about today. Again, the inning could have ended, but Suzuki could not get the job done in a crucial spot. And so there is an opportunity for Jesse Rogers to talk through an interpreter to Seiya. But first,
3-2. In the air, out towards right center. Suzuki the call.
No. Oh, my goodness.
And two-run score. Suzuki called off Bellinger. And just a miscommunication, or maybe he lost it in the lights. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking maybe some lights at the end. The trajectory of that fly ball, that's one we see in a lot of ballparks. Get hung up in the lights. You see it at Wrigley from time to time.
It's the mistake. Yes, that did contribute to, you know, that play happening. But, you know, ever since I was playing in Japan, you do have to take that into consideration whenever you go out there in right field. So, you know, if I do say that, then that's an excuse, so I'm not going to say that. I was actually seeing it pretty well until the very last second. You know, I honestly thought it went into my glove. So it was just that split second where, you know, I just blurred my vision.
Seiya Suzuki with the showers in the background talking to the press.
Through his interpreter.
Yes.
Mao Nasamoto.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Thank God that it wasn't you, because you would have... You would have raked over the coals. You would have been killing that Cubs team last night if you were the interpreter.
Shouldn't have mattered if Dansby would have got a hit.
What?
Hey, Pete, you want to get caught off third again? Hey, nice pitch, Javier. Nice pitch. Way to give up the home run to Acuna.
David, is that what he's saying to you?
Yes.
It's what he should be saying.
What about your guy, Drew Smiley?
I mean, it's just baseball, you know.
It's just baseball. You hear that, Cap? Drew Smiley, just baseball. Oh, a game like that, again, you're trying to get to the playoffs. It's just baseball.
Here's a novel concept.
Oh, God.
When you come into the game with the game on the line, eighth inning, in a game you need worse than a freaking starving man needs a ham sandwich, don't walk the first two guys. Don't bounce balls to the backstop. The novel concept. We might want to look into that.
I mean, it's just baseball.
No, it's not baseball. You're getting $8.5 freaking million dollars to throw strikes. For Christ's sake. I'm so tired of watching guys get walked. It's ridiculous. Well, and then, hey, why don't we bunt here, David? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's give up another out.
Well, all I can tell you is that all the things that happened last night to the Cubs, the one thing that you thought you'd be the most confident in is Seiya's defense. I'm not saying that's the reason why the Cubs lost the game. All the things you mentioned, Pete Crow Armstrong, talking about Smiley, just talking about the base running, everything else, the thing that you depended on the most was Seiya being able to catch that baseball, and he did not.
He did not, and again,
because you know Smiley sucks, so the point is, like, if he underachieves, that's what it is. That's who he is.
Again, he's a human. It happens. It shouldn't. It happened. But there are so many other things in that game. Bad managing, bad pitching, not adding on. Come on, man. Getting caught off a third. Just a big trash can full of garbage.
I mean, it's just baseball. You know, it's... I put two guys on in the inning.
Yeah, you did.
You know, a little uncomfortable of an inning, but at the same time...
This is tape.
Those guys are strong hitters, you know? Like, they're all... can take you deep at any moment. So in my mind, it's I gotta, you know, be aggressive at, you know, try to make him chase, okay, kind of outside the zone.
Oh, you had enough?
Yeah, I've had enough of it. Okay. Let me interpret for him.
All right.
My stuff is a little short. I'm not very good anymore. So I was afraid to throw the ball anywhere near the strike zone. Well, you put two men on base. Yeah, and I bounced two to the backstop. But if he would have caught it, I would have got out of the inning. Irrelevant. You put him in that position. It's just a litany of garbage.
Yes. And again, against a very good Braves team. Are you serious about getting into the playoffs or not? That's the question.
They won 101 games so far.
I get that, but they spotted just six runs. Like, that can't...
You cannot blow a 6-0 lead in the final week of the season with all of those mistakes. You can't. Can't happen.
I mean, it's just baseball.
I'm going to drive to Atlanta.
Don't do that now. I know you want to. Don't do that now.
Drew, there's a guy out here in the hall wants to see you.
Don't do that. I know you don't like that nonchalant answer after the game, but you know how these guys are. They wipe it clean and they try to find a way to win a baseball game the next day.
How many pitches do you think he threw below the strike zone or in the dirt?
It's more than half, I would say.
Well, more than half.
Yeah, he threw 27 pitches yesterday. Yeah, not
good. You know what that means? Mm. He's down for today.
I agree. See, when Quas does it, he does it for effect, you see. He does that to say, whoa, this guy's wild. And he goes it right over the plate. Smiley's done. But you knew that all season, though, Cap. This is not a new revelation. You know he's bad.
Well, I believe he's got another year left at $8.5 million.
Can't be on the ball club next year. Sorry. You're better than that. At least... If it's not this year, you're going to be better than that next year.
Jay Moore needs to get that backup truck again.
Oh, no.
Not
the truck.
Drew?
Come on, Smiley.
Get on.
Drew Frowney.
Anything you need in the locker?
Yeah.
And no, you can't have any Cubs gear. I don't want you affiliated with us.
Oh, no.
Out. Let's go. Gone. Thank you. How about some of these other scuffling players? Out. Get out. Oh, this jacket, that's Mancini. He got released already.
Trey Mancini.
Throwing on the truck.
How did that get in there?
Hosmer, is he still? No, he's gone. My God.
We talk about the struggle bowl of the Bears and the Broncos. That's coming up next. Jesse Rogers at 9:35 on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, or also on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN Chicago channel. We're with you until 10, and then Mike Greenberg steps in, followed by Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 12:30 into White Sox baseball to take on the Diamondbacks. A 12:30 pregame right here in the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie after the game, and then Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 8, all part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. So it'll be the Bears and the Broncos, as we well know. Somebody's got to win the Struggle Bowl, 0-3. Someone's got to be able to win it. Who's going to win it? The Bears go 0-4. It's already so long, everybody, but boy, it definitely will put the final nail in the coffin going 0-4, especially if the team isn't looking better on either side of the football. But, Cap, I want to talk to you a little bit about some comments from Lance Briggs on Monday. While you're away, of course, we have Lance Briggs every Monday right here on ESPN 1000.
He's so good.
Lance Briggs talking about a number of things, including just how the defense needs to be able to at some point stop the run.
From the standpoint of the pass rush, we know that we're behind the ball on that. You know, that's something that gets shored up with the draft. We knew, you know, there's one way we're going to have to go, and we chose offensive line, which was the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was offensive line. So we knew that defensively we were going to be behind the ball a bit. Now, what bothers me are the linebackers not getting downhill, you know, playing more physical. And again, you know, being gashed and against the run is inexcusable. Everybody knows where your gaps are. You know where you're supposed to fit. You need to be in there. We need to be able to stop the run.
Listen, those things are true, what he's talking about, and he would know. The defense under Lovie Smith was pretty stout at times, though. There were gaps in that defense as well. Perfect example. It's funny, we mentioned Kaepernick earlier. We remember like it was yesterday, Bears against San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and the Bears had no idea where the RPO was going. It was the first time that we heard those initials. You remember in San Francisco?
Yep.
Like they carved up the Bears defense. When the offense was going one way, the defense was going the other. It was just so confusing for the Bears defense because of lack of gap discipline. But what you've already seen in the All-22 and what I've seen as well, Cap, is like, it's one thing to try to put a microscope on the Bears offense. How does that get better? Whose fault is it? But the defense is what it is. I've been on this for a while. The gaps in this defense remind me of last year. It gives me vibes from last year. The idea that there are 10 or 15 yards of open space for receivers and tight ends in this league against this Bears defense is unacceptable. And that falls at the, you know, there's no blame pie. That is on the players, and that is on Matt Eberflus's defense, flatly.
So
that's what it is.
When I was sitting at the game with my wife watching it, it's a third down, and my wife said, cover 87. He's the guy they keep going to. And he gets the first down. And I said to my wife, she goes like, how does that happen? Hun, he runs great routes. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame for now. She said, nobody's covering him. So I pulled up the All-22 and I watched those specific plays over. She's exactly right. The coverage schemes, like, he never gets touched.
Yep.
Comes off the line, free release, sits down in the zone, and there's nobody around him. I'm like, pretty good eye, Mindy. You're exactly right. Embarrassingly poor coverage. And we have a defensive head coach?
Yep.
I mean, give me one. Somebody call. Give me one aspect of the team, one, that you go, that looks pretty good.
Outside of special team, the kicking game.
Outside of Cairo yep. Santos.
Yep.
Give me one aspect of the team where you go, wow, that aspect really is coming along. Run defense? Don't make me laugh. Pass defense? Don't make me laugh. Oh, pressure on the quarterback? Don't make me laugh. The quarterback? The passing game? The ability to run the football? None of it.
What do you think, Jay Moore?
I just want to know, when has it ever been a team that the kicker or punter is the best player on the team?
Right. Even bad Bears teams had a good defense. Right? I mean, listen, we've been through generational Bears seasons in which the offense sucked. We know that because you can't find the quarterback. You can't marry the quarterback with the head coach. We all know that. But the idea that the best part of this team is a kicking game is horrible.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, you're off to an 0-3 start, but you know what? We see some signs that things are going to get better. I don't see that yet, Cap.
I there's not one thing I can hang my hat on going, coming into this game, this should be 31-14 Bears.
Like Roshan Johnson runs the football well as a rookie.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know anybody. He just says, I got to make sure I have ball security, and I got to be able to run the rock. But then, like, At the same time, the one thing that you could depend on, you thought was a running game, and you turned the ball over. Khalil Herbert. Did it not happen on Sunday?
It didn't.
Okay. The one thing you think you could depend on the running game, like, he turns the ball over. I was mad at the time, but it's almost like the 18th most relevant thing about this Bears team, that game from Sunday. Like, I saw that, and I was mad at the time. I'm like, come on, man. It's bad enough. You got to hold on to the football. He knows that. But just like, again, it's against Kansas City. You should hold a football against anybody, but it's Kansas City. They're looking to rip it out. They're looking to punch it out because that's a well-oiled machine. That's why I said at the time, Cap, Kansas City is the varsity. They go home with your girl. They got the Letterman jacket on. They got the best cars. They go to the fanciest restaurants after the game. And the freshmen are there getting dilly bars, you know, at the local ice cream shop.
They got to put the equipment back.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Pretty much. All right.
You guys going out? We got to put all the equipment back. We'll meet you out there.
You're in the stands after you got your ass whooped as a freshman team. You got to put the equipment back and make sure the stadium's clean while the varsity's out having their way with your girl. That's what Kansas City is.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, Bears. All right. Clean up everything. Make sure everything's good. Shut the lights off. Lock the cage. We're out. That's it.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Like, looking at the numbers, I mean, Justin was 11 of 22 for 99 yards.
99 yards in the National Football League. A league in which they're trying to help you get yards because of penalties. We see it every football game. If you can't score, if you can't drive, the officials will help you. And they can't even get help from the officials.
Nothing.
Because you didn't earn it. That's why.
Absolutely nothing.
It's bad. It's bad. It's worse than the obvious. Let me put it that way. It's worse than what you think. It is.
Oh, my God.
Because I know everyone's on coaches. Get these coaches out of here. Get Justin out of here. What about the entire operation, Cap? Everything.
Agreed. Agreed.
Come on, bro.
Is Sunday a must-win for the Bears?
There's no such thing as a must-win now when you're 0-3.
I think that you have to win a game. Yeah, you can't. You don't suit up to lose.
I don't disagree with that, but must-win? No. Absolutely. I think the Green Bay game, to get off to a good start, that was a must-win in your building with no Aaron Rodgers. And then we said, going into Tampa, you lose this one, basically the season's over because you're not beating Kansas City. So that became the most important game. Now, okay, you're 1-3 or 0-4. It doesn't really matter.
It matters to the team. It matters. And by the way, you've lost the fire.
I have not lost the fire.
You have never been that guy. You've lost the fire because the Cap I know wants to win every game.
I do want to win every game, but it's not a must-win is what I'm telling you.
You can't go at home when you are a 3.5-point underdog to a team that lost by 50 and be like, if we lose this game, eh. No, you don't. You can't look at it like that. Absolutely not.
But, okay, so if they lose on Sunday, it was a must-win. What does that make week 5?
The toilet bowl.
Closer to the number one pick.
You can't have a must-win every week. That doesn't exist.
Wait. You haven't won since last October. When is there a must-win? Every time that you take the field, you must try to win that ball game.
That's different. Must try to win? Yes. A must-win means there ain't turning back if you lose this one. Getting to 1-3 does very little for you.
I understand that on the surface. But again, do you remember being a player? And why winning was important to you?
Yes, and it's important to win. I'm not saying it isn't. And I'd be doing all I could to try and win. Must win means I have to have that game.
You do have to have it. You have to have it if you're the Bear. You're not in that locker room, and I'm not in the locker room either. But I do have that feeling as someone that's close to the team that says, man, you must win this game because you keep losing the rest of them.
Okay, but if you lose this game, then what does week 5 become? Must win?
Because you got to turn it around at some point. You got to find a way.
You can't have a must win every week. You cannot have a must win every week. Important? Yes. Do all I can, beg, borrow, and steal to win a game? Yes. Must win? That was Tampa. Because if you started 0-2, you knew you were starting 0-3, and your season was basically over because at 0-3, teams don't get to the playoffs. That was a must win. The Green Bay game, I thought, was critically important. Rodgers is gone. The owner left. We've got all this momentum. It was electric in there. and you got your ass beat.
I understand that, Cap, but for every time that you're a player, you want to be able to win a football game. And it should feel like a must-win when you haven't won since last October. It should feel that way. Now, again, you're greedy because you want that number one and number two pick. You don't mind if they lose the rest of their games because you're looking at the future. What about those players in there? What about the pride?
Oh, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just saying the term must-win football game, that ship has sailed, man. You're 0-3. You're not going to the postseason. You're not going to look up and go, wow, Bears won 8 games? They got that hot? That's not happening. It's a bad team.
You wouldn't put that on the chalkboard if you're in front of the room?
No.
They say that we must win this ball game? Guys, we got to win this game. You wouldn't say that? Of course you would.
No, I would talk to them about everything we have to do. We've got to take care of business, and we need to go out and take care of business and defend what's ours, our home field. But the term must win, it's not a must win. Because getting you to 1-3, okay.
You won a game. You won a game, which is the object of the game. The reason why they put the pads on is to win.
Agreed.
I never wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to lose today. We're going to make sure I'm going to sink this show today. Because I'm here.
I think we're on the same page.
We are.
But the term must win is either you're eliminated if you lose. That's a must win.
Yeah.
And I thought the Tampa game, because you were not beating Kansas City. No how, no way. You start 0-3 instead of 1-2. You got no hope. It's over. That was the problem.
How about an important win? How does that sound? Is that better?
Yeah, it's an extremely important opportunity for us to win a football game. Let's go out and take care of business. It's time.
Too much pressure for the young people to say must, huh? It's almost like promising the kids you're going to have ice cream, and then you realize you have no money for ice cream.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think must is what it is. Those are few and far between. Like the Cubs, it's not a must win tonight. Today, they're still in the playoffs. If you tell me you lose and you're eliminated, that's a must win. That's where I'm at.
I think deep inside of you, though, you're thinking,
you try to win every game.
Must win. Got to beat the Braves today. Got to come off the mat.
Yeah.
7-6. Yeah. Come on, let's go.
Right.
Right.
I'll be watching.
Jesse Rogers with us from Atlanta. That's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Time to look at the headlines. The Cubs dropped a heartbreaker last night in Atlanta by a score of 7-6. The Cubs blew a 6-run lead capped off by right fielder Seiya Suzuki dropping a routine fly ball with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th inning. The result enabled the Brewers to clinch the National League Central and drop the Cubs a game behind the Diamondbacks in the battle for the second National League wild card spot. So the Cubs and Braves will go at it again at 6:20 in Atlanta. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, by the way, the Diamondbacks, they're in a battle as well for this wild card spot. The Diamondbacks, they blew out the White Sox last night 15-4 at guaranteed rate. Aloy Jimenez homered and drove in 4 runs. The Sox host Arizona once again this afternoon. It's 12:30 with the pregame right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. 0-3 Bears against the 0-3 Broncos. Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields will speak to the media later on today. All right, Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Time to talk Cubs with Jesse Rogers right here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. And Jesse Rogers is on the
CarX Tire and Auto Hot.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Jess.
Don't blame me for this one, Cap. Don't blame me for this one. I didn't do it.
Nope. And Jesse, I've been having this debate with people on social media. Hoodie and I have talked about, look, yeah, he should have caught the ball. But how about PCA not get caught off a third? How about Dansby not go 0-for-4? How about Drew Smyly not looking completely inept, walking 2 men and bouncing balls all over the place? How about on 2 strikes to Acuna Jr., not leaving one where he can take it out to right field? I can go on and on. And how about somebody take the bunt card out of David Ross's playbook?
Yeah, that's probably my biggest criticism of how he managed last night was the bunt. Mastroboni had 3 hits already in the game. He only has 12 at-bats against lefties compared to 110 versus righties, so maybe didn't trust him. But lefty-on-lefty bunts aren't easy. I used to talk to Jason Hayward about that. He bunts it right back to the pitcher. you're right, there's a lot of things that went wrong. In my mind, though, 6-0 lead, you've got to win that game.
Agreed.
I don't care what else happens. And my point being, like, if you didn't add on, okay, but and if this went wrong, okay. 6 runs should be enough. Justin Steele's on the mound. He starts to give it back. Every reliever you put in that game did something to contribute to that loss. Quas gave up a double. Assad gives up a 2-run homer. And I heard you earlier documenting Drew Smyly. I mean, you're going to a guy in a crucial spot who really doesn't want to attack the other team because he doesn't trust his stuff. He's throwing balls 55 feet because he's hoping they chase him. And yes, he almost did get out, but you are walking a tightrope when you can't make even one mistake behind the guy or throw one bad pitch because you put two guys on. But this goes back to a bigger issue, that Jed Hoyer did not fortify the bullpen, that maybe David Ross did not develop more guys and only was relying on Leiter and Alzolay, and now both of them have been unavailable. Leiter should be back up today. To me, this is on the bullpen. This is on who you used, who you have to use, and how they performed last night and down the stretch here.
Jesse, do the Cubs belong?
Do they belong in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Not with that pen. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they can get through the next 5 days unless Leiter comes back and is just on fire, and Alzolay gets back by Friday, and he helps out, and they squeeze out some wins here. Because it is gassed. I mean, Fulmer, as bad as he was settling down things at least in the fifth inning rather than the ninth when he was going well, and certainly when Leiter and Alzolay were going well. None of those guys have been available. So they don't belong with that pen. You know how baseball is today. Steele was rolling, but guys can't make it through 6 or 7. Even the great pitchers on the in this league a lot of times can't go more than 6, and he couldn't keep going. So, they don't belong with this pen right now. I mean, that's where I put this loss. Look, I had a great view of Suzuki. I know on TV it looked like maybe as the ball was hit was going to be in the gap. But my view of it, as soon as it went up, I saw, I had a straight line to Suzuki. I'm getting up to have my third hot dog of the game, Jay Hood. I think that falls in his glove. And then you look down for a second and boom, it falls. So it's a lot of things that happened before Suzuki. But obviously, he lost in the lights for a split second, and it cost them the game.
So what happens today? Some kid named Vines is pitching for the Braves. I've never even heard of the dude. I don't know who he is.
Got a 4 ERA.
And it's Jameson Taillon, mm-hmm. who has not had a great year, but he could quiet a lot of the naysayers if he goes out and weaves a web of mastery today. What are we going to see tonight?
Yeah, the big thing is, how do they respond? I mean, it's a pretty veteran locker room, right? You have Bellinger, Swanson. My point being, man, it was quiet last night in there, as you'd expect. Suzuki has to turn the page. He said all the right things about doing that. You can't let last night linger at all. And look, it remains to be seen. We'll see. You mean not many teams lose a game like that. So I'm more worried about the whole demeanor. But with 5 left and so much on the line, I assume they'll be able to. You got to score against this team. Yeah, I mean, we know that from last night. 6 wasn't enough. So it starts with that. It's not like Taillon's going to shut them out, right? I mean, that'd be a big surprise. So, yes, you have to get to this guy. The advantage the next 2 days is certainly on the mound. The Braves are working out their pitching woes, their pitching issues to heading into the playoffs. But what they're not doing is sitting any regulars, the position players. They've now hit 301 home runs. That's a National League record. They're 6 home runs shy of the Major League record set in 2019 by the Twins. That lineup's going to score, especially, against Taillon. He gives up a lot of contact. So the Cubs have to score against this guy. Again, not one of their regular pitchers going on the mound for the Braves. So that's it, Cap. You've got to now win this game 7-6 like you lost last night 7-6.
Got to bludgeon them tonight. Bludgeon them.
That's just hard to do. So we've made the parallel, Jesse, of Kansas City and the Chicago Bears. One's a freshman, one's the varsity. The Bears had no reason to be on that field against Kansas City. What about the Braves? Like, historically, since Bobby Cox, the one thing you've known for sure is that their pitching has been pretty solid. And I just think that in this scenario, how close are the Cubs to the Braves? Because when I ask you, do they belong? We see all these teams are either going to be in the playoffs or in the playoffs. Where do the Cubs rank, especially against a team like the Braves?
Yeah, that's a great point. They're a step below, without a doubt. I mean, this is one of the great lineups we've ever seen, to be honest. Pilar homered last night. He has 9. If he hits 10, they'll have 11 players with 10 or more home runs. 11 players with 10 or more. They've got a guy with 53, they've got a guy with 41, and four more with 30. It's insane. So the Cubs are nowhere near them offensively. Like, the Cubs' power, that's the thing. Their left-handed power is basically Bellinger, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Their right-handed power has been just okay. They need to upgrade their power, especially from the left side, and especially if Bellinger leaves. I mean, this Braves lineup is the standard right now. No one's going to produce anything like them, but you've got to have a little bit more power than you have if you're the Cubs and you want to jump into the elite status. They're one or two levels below elite, let's face it. There's four or five elite teams. The Cubs, the Marlins, Diamondbacks are all below all those teams.
Hey, Candelario, what's the deal there?
Yeah, it'll be tonight, and they need him. They need him as that second sort of cleanup hitter, as a lefty down in the 6-7 hole. He's back tonight. That's been a big loss. Just in moments where they need some power from the left side, and they haven't gotten it. So, yeah, he's back tonight. Although Mastroboni's performed well. We were texting last night, but he's not a power guy. Candelario can be a power guy. So he's back. Leiter should be back up tonight. So two that were down are back, and then we'll see about Azulay. But just even the addition of Leiter could be huge if he's the first half Leiter. You know, he has struggled recently, and I think that's why he's been down.
So, Cap, what do you want to do? You want to put Mastroboni, because he's got the hot bat, at the DH spot? Do you sit him tonight? Candelario's back. What do you do in that spot?
The kid pitching for the Braves tonight, this guy Vines, would you bet Chris Morel? He gives you pop. He gives you energy. Mastroboni's been hot. What do you do there, Jess?
What do you think?
If there's a chance they put Candelario as the DH because he's coming back from a back injury. So that's possible, and keep Mastroboni at third.
So that would put Morel on the bench then?
That would put Morel on the bench. It is a righty. You know, Vines is a righty, so they usually go with those lefty lineups. Or maybe Candelario goes right back to third, or Candelario goes to first. You know, who knows? I mean, there's those all those possibilities, but he's going to be in the lineup. The question is, like you just said, is Mastroboni in? And I think Mastroboni probably will be. He's 11 for his last
11
19.
For 19.
Yeah.
He's rolling.
Just moving these chess pieces around, for God's sakes. Yeah. Brooks Robinson just died. You know where to find him on the diamond, for God's sakes, Jesse. Moving Bellinger around.
As I think about it, Bellinger in center and Candelario first, Mastroboni at third makes sense with the righty bind. So I think that's probably what it'll be.
All right, Jesse.
Any other nuggets we need?
I don't think so. I mean, look, the last thing would be they don't hold their own destiny anymore. If everyone wins out, they lose the tiebreaker. But you'd expect the Marlins to split tonight, right? It's hard to sweep. And if the Cubs win, they're back in control, so to speak. So, but it's the first time they haven't controlled their destiny, you know, in the last little while here. I mean, they had a 4.5 game lead as the second wild card team, and they've just given it all away. So it's not just last night. It's the last few weeks for sure, and even the Rocky sweep hasn't done enough. But that was just a killer last night. So I'm looking at the response. What's the response tonight? It has
to
be
your
big
job, Jesse. Crying out loud. Get
I know you're
going to
blame me sometime at this during this conversation.
Put the hot dogs down and get a freaking victory.
And don't forget,
do my best.
Don't forget, Jesse.
I mean, it's just baseball.
It's just baseball, as Drew Smiley told you yesterday.
That's the new tune in, right? It's just baseball. It's the new tune in.
That's it. Thanks, Jess.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
There bye, Jess. It's Jesse Rogers with
still
us.
Love you.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry, call the Car X Man.
On the
Car X Tire
and Auto Hotline.
All right. All right, coming up, we will have the Cap'n J. Hood cut of the day.
And I'll give you the results of the poll question from yesterday. Trestman, Fox, Nagy, Eberflus. Who's the worst coach?
That's next on Cap'n J. Hood.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J. Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap'n J. Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, Matt Moore. You can carry out from there, but sitting in and experiencing everything Chicago Cud has to offer is one of life's great pleasures. Jay Moore!
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
By the way, when you're the interpreter, do you have to sound as down as the player? I mean, because he could have been like, yeah, you know, when I was in Japan, like it's not right. That. It can't. Hey, you know, the time I was in Japan, we had to make sure we saw that ball right into the glove. No, he sounded as down as Suzuki would sound if he spoke English.
Correct. His name is Mao Nasumoto. He's an awesome dude. Yo, yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
What's supposed to do? Hey, guys, what we got? Good night. How we doing? They asked the question in Japanese
yes.
or in English, and then Seiya gives the answer, and he goes, yeah, so, you know what? Hey, man, it happened. The fly ball, I should have had it. I thought it went in my glove. Next.
So here's what we know. You'd be a terrible interpreter. You? He spoke just like Seiya felt. That's what I mean.
Correct.
He sounded like, if Seiya could speak English, that's who you'd sound. You know, I remember in Japan, he's like, you know, kind of talking into a shirt. You doing it? Oh, my God. Hey, look. Come on in here, medium. I want everyone to be able to hear this. I made a mistake. Put it on me. But what about that guy down the locker? Smiley. He's terrible. Take that, Drew.
Hey, Dansby, you want to get a hit at some point?
You'd be terrible as the interpreter for Seiya. Loud. It just give it. Tell people to take that. I don't think that's what Seiya said. That's exactly what he said. What do you mean? I'm talking to the guy. Do you speak Japanese? I do. Take that.
And that's all, folks.
Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cuts Steakhouse. It's on LaSalle on the north side of the Chicago River.
Cap, do you know it's our day?
What does that mean?
What it means is that today is Morning Show Host Day.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a real thing.
How about that?
Did you see that, Jay Moore? Today is Morning Show Host Day.
Didn't see it.
What's your favorite thing about being on the morning show?
Getting to work with you and with Jay Moore and with Shay and Kevin today, but normally Shay. Getting to get up in the morning, which I love doing early, and talking sports in the town that we grew up in. Are you kidding? It's a blessing. I'm actually furious. How is Danny and Keith not down here like, guys, we brought you some whatever.
Right.
We brought you bacon and eggs.
Something.
I wanted to say thanks for being our morning show. Nothing.
Something. They meet about the meeting, so why don't you meet about that? Taking care of the morning show.
Got another freaking meeting upstairs. Why don't you say, it's morning show host day. Maybe we ought to surprise them with breakfast.
Or saying thank you. Or something.
Yeah. Or take us to lunch.
Something. Also, it's National Crush a Can Day. But that's about my dad's alley. As much old style and stuff that he would drink. Smash the can. And put it in the bag. Yep. We're going to take it for money later on, kid. Put your pop cans in there and put my beer in there. Okay, Dad. Got it. Smash the can with your foot. Okay.
Right. You put Stanley on it with one foot.
Yeah.
Hit the sides and it would collapse.
That's amazing. National Crush a Can Day. Thank you for listening and twitching and being part of the program. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you, Jay Moore. Hey, tomorrow?
7 a.m., baby, and it's a Deal Breakers Thursday.
So long, everybody.
Take that!
From Chicago.